Okay.
Hey, this is Ryan Dawson of ANC Report, the Anti-Neocon Report. Repeat guest Jeff Blankford, the man that sued the ADL and won. Today, we're going to talk about the most recent shooting in California because it had some suspicious activity, possibly, or at least if there was some, it hasn't been thoroughly questioned. And so, Jeff, where were you when the shooting happened?
I was driving towards San Francisco and heard the news on KCBS. And then the report was that three white men had been seen entering the building. And then when I arrived at my friend's, we watched it on television, and we watched thoroughly. We saw interviews with CBS and NBC, in which there were two witnesses. One we saw the picture of, who described three white men, and one of the witnesses said one opened the door for the other two, the athletic-looking white men. In military garb. So then suddenly we find out, or we're told, that it's not three white men. We don't hear from these witnesses again at all. Their names are never mentioned in the newspaper, although their interviews are still available online. Is that Fox announced, Sean Hannity, that the shooter was actually Syed Farooq, a Muslim Pakistani, and then his wife was also introduced as the second shooter. Now, then his lawyer came on, and his lawyer said he can't believe this happened, particularly because Tashfeen Malik weighs 90 pounds and is hardly able to really carry and operate an AR-15 with professional accuracy. Now, the other thing that was interesting, the only witness who is named, who is a survivor, was shot in the back. A woman says she saw these two guys come in with big old guns. Well, this 90-pound woman could not be confused with a guy. And when you come in with this kind of an operation, you're a professional. It's not for amateurs. Firing a weapon with accuracy requires a lot of training. So then we learn.
Were they not wearing masks?
Well, supposedly they're wearing masks, but the woman who identified the two old guys, she said. Two guys came in with big old guns. She didn't mention masks. And one other witness who did not give a name, who was interviewed by this thing called BuzzFeed, and didn't give her name because she was worried about getting in trouble with the agency she worked for, which is very strange, is why would they care if she identified the shooters? She said she saw the two figures walking in black outside from her window, but she didn't see them with guns. So it was very strange. And then what was interesting is the FBI announced that they had been, both of them had been to a number of firing ranges in the area. Great, let's see the information, let's see the proof. Well, they showed the proof that Syed Farooq had been to one shooting range, but no proof that she had been to any range. And the person who identified Syed Farooq as coming to his shooting range would not comment any more than the fact that Syed was at there. The range, there was a video of him at the range. Why haven't we seen the video? Now, if there was going to be a court case, I can understand why they may be building a case. But what happened right away was they announced, remember, and this got the headlines, that just before, just at the time they started the shooting, she pledged her allegiance under an alias on Facebook. And then removed it, and Facebook then took the whole page out. That was believed, and there were big headlines about that, connecting them to ISIS. And this was prompted, of course, the agenda for both Republican and Democratic debates. 2 weeks and 2 days later, James Comey, the head of the FBI, made the announcement that in fact she had not posted anything on Facebook. But most people I've talked to aren't aware of that, but it's what he did. Now, it didn't get the same kind of story or publicity, but it seems to me that they were trying to set something else up to happen. Now, also, we had the
Do you
story
know
of the
who ran that story first? That first claim, or was it just everybody saying she made this post on Facebook?
yeah, that was the big headline,
Okay.
and that she and the question was, I said, how could she do that? They're starting to shoot, you know, and at the same, they said at the same time, it's like she stopped, put the gun aside, opened her smartphone up, and then posted on Facebook under an alias. No one asked questions about that, and that's still believed by people. And then, as I say, 2 weeks and 2 days after the shooting, James Comey made the announcement that it was a mistake. She had never made any posting on Facebook. Then they, what happened is, we saw pictures of supposedly Farouk dead in the street, but his hands are tied behind his back. There's a pool of blood, and his legs are crossed. Now, if he's dead after the shootout, why would they tie his hands behind his back and cross his legs? Or perhaps that's the way he was killed. And then they had the shootout supposedly through the windows, but the police broke the windows. So where were they shooting from, and who was doing the shooting? But we didn't, those questions weren't even asked. However,
I have to point out the shootout was supposedly while they were in a car, like they were driving and shooting, or that was the said story. And it would be really hard to shoot if your windows rolled up.
it's very hard to shoot if your windows are rolled up. We don't know who drove. We don't know if she even had a driver's license or knew how to drive. We certainly know that if she had gone to a shooting range, she would have been noticed, and we would have videos of her on the range. I mean, this would be really clear. But what did they do? It was like bait and switch. Suddenly, they forgot about the shooting and decided to find out what the motives were of the shooters. And then we learned that they had arranged this killing, this massacre, before they even met. That they made this connection and pledged jihad. Well, jihad actually in Islam means many things. One is a personal struggle, but the idea that he had never met this woman, and through communications they were planning some kind of a massacre, is ludicrous. And yet, this wasn't questioned by anyone. Also, the idea that they had all these ammunition and all these rounds with them, and then in this house, which they suddenly, after 2 days, opened up to the press, which mystified a number of critics, because this was a crime scene, or at least related to a crime scene. They suddenly destroyed, allowed evidence that might have been used later on to be tampered with. But the scene, crime scene itself, nobody can go into. That's been fenced off. So there's a number of questions. Also, if there was this shootout we heard about, they had all these helicopters. We know that the police and the FBI and the police and also the news stations have news helicopters. If there was a shootout, that would likely have been televised. I remember following the O.J. Simpson chase on TV. So they had, obviously had TV helicopters in the air, but we don't see any evidence, any pictures of the shootout. We just see their bodies on the street afterward. But these things haven't been questioned. Also, at the time, before I did my radio program, right after that, I sent an email to four LA Times reporters whose emails were posted at the end of the articles they wrote about the shooting. And I, as a fellow journalist, and I told them I was going to be doing a program a couple of days later, I had some questions about what happened. And perhaps one of them answers some of the things that I raised already. I got no response to many of them. I just got a message that the connection is too slow for good video. How are you seeing me?
I'm seeing you. We can flip to over to audio.
In any
Yeah, I
case,
heard you fine. You say you sent letters to LA Times reporters.
yeah, the LA Times reporters, not one of them replied to me. Now, this brought me, which I thought was very unprofessional. For a fellow, I told them, you know, I had a program on a public radio station. Perhaps they could, one of them could clear up these questions I had. But I looked at the LA Times and I have seen nothing that clears up anything. And I said, I got no responses. And it took me back, particularly the shooting range nonsense, took me back to the Kennedy assassination. When Mark Lane, the attorney, came to San Francisco to debate Melvin Belli, the most well-known attorney in San Francisco, and the debate was going to be moderated by Jake Ehrlich, another well-known attorney, which they made a TV program called Sam Benedict about. He's the most two famous attorneys in San Francisco. One is debating Mark Lane. He's going to Belli is going to defend the government's position that Oswald did it, and Lane is going to say he didn't do it. And Lane laid out the case for Oswald's innocence being set up. And all Belli could say in his defense was, if what you say is true, heaven help us. Now, the Masonic Auditorium was packed. There was not a single line in the Chronicle the next day. And one of my drinking buddies was a reporter from the Chronicle, a guy named Bob Robertson. And I asked Bob, how come there was no story about the Belli Mark Lane debate last night? And he said, we didn't have enough reporters. I said, oh, come on, Bob. You can't tell me that. He says, that's all I can tell you. We didn't have enough reporters. And when Lane came into town and wanted to publicize, his publicist, a guy named Jerry Mander, who later went on to become a well-known ecologist, Jerry called one of the ABC or CBS or NBC and said, I have Mark Lane in town. Do you want to put him on? And whatever the network he called said, Mark Lane, I'm sorry, we're not going to put him on. Then he called CBS, and they said the same thing. So then he called NBC, and NBC, he said, NBC, he told NBC, ABC and CBS are putting on Mark Lane. Do you want him? And they were surprised. Okay, if they're going to put him on, we'll put him on. And that's how he was able to break through. So you have the media, what I see, the media cooperating. The government says this is a very important case. We want your cooperation. Years ago, when I worked for the LA Examiner, something came up in which I forget what, I'm trying to remember what it was, in which the Examiner kept a lid on a story. So they will do that. And the Oswald assassination is another thing. I mean, we had Oswald supposedly going out to a shooting range, but they dropped that story when they found he didn't drive. And yesterday, KPFA, the so-called progressive radio station in Berkeley, the Sunday program was interviewing a guy, I think Michael Shermer, who has a website called Skeptic Inc. And he's going to be speaking at a fundraiser for KPFA, and his job is to denounce all these conspiracy theories. 9/11, forget about it.
Yeah, I know him
And
well.
Oswald,
I've grilled him
and I'm
in
listening to
the
this,
past.
and he says Oswald was an expert marksman. Now, I was in the U.S. Army. I fought expert twice. There are three ranks. Marksman is the lowest qualification. That's what Oswald was. He was a marksman. Everybody qualifies because otherwise the unit looks lousy. Then there's a sharpshooter, and then there's the expert. That's like 225 out of 250. Okay. And Oswald was a marksman. That's like 180. So when this so-called expert says that Oswald, he did
Actually,
it
he was
twice,
worse
an
than
expert
that. He wasn't.
marksman, shows this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. He wasn't really in the army per se. He was more or less in the false defector program for the Soviet Union. That's what he was supposed to be doing. They didn't really need him to shoot anybody.
I can't, you're
I would
thinking
say
about.
Lee Harvey Oswald was in a false defector program to the Soviet Union. That was his real role, to go spy. He wasn't supposed to be shooting at anyone anyway.
Well, what I have read, he said he was a patsy,
Yeah.
and if he had done what he had done, he wouldn't have a job in the Texas School Depository. He was living in an apartment arranged by a former head of USAID,
Yep.
and somebody with his background would have been jailed, would have been tried for treason.
Well.
And certainly wouldn't have had a job up in the Texas School Book Depository. But
Well, they placed him there. His uncle worked for Carlos Marcello as a bookkeeper in the mafia. That was Oswald's, basically his father. That's who raised him. So they
Could you
put him
speak
there on
up?
purpose. Yeah, I'm in
Let me.
this.
You
Let me try
know.
the camera one. I switched microphones. How about this? Can you hear this?
I could hear you. Yeah, let me get a little closer. Let me just move. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, yeah,
Speak.
USAID put Oswald, gave him that job while Marina and them were moving all their stuff out to George de Morenchild's place with the white Russians that were friends with his wife. And Oswald's uncle, which is who raised him, basically his father, was the bookkeeper for Carlos Marcello, who was the head of the Louisiana Mafia at the time, working with the CIA, which they found out afterwards. So Oswald's a very interesting character. It's not just some lone gunman when he has all these different connections to. Sorry to cut you off there, folks, in the middle of JFK, but this is for ANC members. You can get the full hour with Jeff Blankford, more on JFK, as well as Benjamin Netanyahu bribing Congress and that scandal, that and more on today's show. ANC members, for $5 a month, you can hear this podcast and every podcast I've ever made and all the podcasts for the rest of the months for just $5. For $50 a year, you have the full year archives and all the membership perks that come with it. So please consider signing up today on ancreport.com. Become a member and get the full interviews. Tomorrow we're having Dan Sanchez. We're going to talk about Saudi Arabia and Israel's axis and their role in the ISIS war, proxy war in Syria, followed by Mimi Alahem, or Syrian girl, Maren Sisluk. She did a great video about some of these fake photos that are being used in the press showing starving children in Madaya. I encourage everybody to see that. That video is up right now for everybody, and that interview will be available for members, so please do sign up.